what is going on. And people who are active, people who have not yet been active, who will become active, what I say is awareness is the first step in the resistance. And you are part of the resistance now in your attendance here tonight. And I think that when I get done talking, you'll agree with me. So, first of all, we all clearly have a commitment to our private property rights. Now, our private property is not just real estate. Our private property is also our body. And this is what we are guaranteed in our Constitution, the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is guaranteed to us. It was granted to us not by a person, not by our government, but we were born with those rights, granted to us by our Creator. So I think we want to remember that when we're listening and thinking about everything that I'm going to be talking with you about. So first of all, I also am very glad to be in Tennessee, where the Tennessee legislators have passed in the House H.J.R. 587, which is a bill that was sponsored by Kevin Brooks in the Cleveland, Bradley County area, and that is mirroring the Republican National Committee's resolution to condemn United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and ICLEI, the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. So, yes. Yes. And we also want to remember that there were 8 Democrats who signed on to that here in Tennessee. Now, I am a liberal Democrat. I'm also a feminist. I am pro-choice. I am pro-gay marriage. I am gay. And the thing that gets people to throw tomatoes at me all over the country is I'm a native Californian. So although I may be all of those things, and you may not be or may not like some of that stuff, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me, and it shouldn't matter to you, because what we're here talking about is something of concern to all Americans. This is an American issue. It is not a left or a right issue. It is about all of us as Americans, and this is why we come together to fight this. Like someone said to me, and I'm gonna get you in, you'll be hearing all about this, but somebody said to me, I got an email, I get about 1,000 emails a day, and I got an email from somebody who said, you know, Rosa, I think I disagree with you on just about everything, all the ways that you are in your life, but she said, you know, let's fight Agenda 21 together, and then after we win, we can fight about that other stuff later. So, and that's fine with me. So, I am a commercial real estate appraiser. Up until the end of March, I was a district branch chief for the California Department of Transportation, and I have retired so that I can do this all the time, because this is way more important. Although I loved my career, and my specialty is eminent domain valuation, I appraise property for acquisition by the state government, mostly for acquisition of land for roads. In California, unlike some places, the requirement is that property that is being acquired for a state project under eminent domain must be paid at the highest price that the market would pay, the highest price. And I am proud to say that in my 30-year career, I was never influenced in value. And if I came to the department and I said, there just isn't enough money in this project to be able to acquire this property, and I do big valuation like sand and gravel quarries or airports, things like that, if the money was not there in the project, then the project died. And what I have to say is that if the government wants to acquire your property, the rights to your property, it has to pay for them. That is what we expect. That is what we demand under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, just compensation. So adherence to the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution kind of seems to be an edgy concept these days, but I am accustomed to being out on the edge because I'm out talking about United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. As Americans, you're going to find yourselves completely at odds with and deeply concerned by the agenda for the 21st century as it is referred to by the United Nations and the world. It is a blueprint. It is the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all means of production, all information, and all human beings in the world. Inventory and control. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Inventory and control. This is the plan. Now, you should be concerned about this, of course, not just because you're here, if you're in the Tea Party or Campaign for Liberty or whatever. As Americans, we need to be concerned about this, and as human beings, we need to be concerned. United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, was signed on to by 179 nations, including the United States, in 1992 at the UN Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. George H.W. Bush signed us on. He committed the United States to implementing sustainable development, and it has been supported by every single president ever since. It's a global plan, but it is implemented locally. United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is the biggest public relations scam in the history of the world. But it's far more than that. It is far more than that, because it is a recipe for destruction that enables and justifies monitoring and metering and restricting our energy and water usage, instituting a carbon tax on industry, pulverizing our roads and destroying our dams, sinking our economy, exhausting our military with endless war, diagnosing a huge portion of our population with mental illness and drugging us, bleeding our transportation budget with high-cost trains to nowhere, revamping our school system by inserting sustainable development principles into every single course, declaring our public lands off-limits to humans, changing every land use document in the nation to require high-density housing in city centers so that we can be more easily controlled and surveilled, allowing warrantless searches and domestic surveillance, identifying us as potential enemy combatants, and redefining torture. If an enemy was trying to destroy us, it couldn't do a better job. That is all part of United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. This is the erection of a corporatocracy, a global totalitarian state, and it's happening now. The reason that people say that they haven't heard of Agenda 21, don't know what you're saying, don't know what you're talking about, you must be some kind of a nut. You must be wearing a tinfoil hat. It's like I say, I want stock in those tinfoil companies because there's going to be a lot of hats out there. You know, that's how they can say that you're making it up, because they don't use the term Agenda 21. You'll never see that written down. Oh, except now it's kind of changing a little bit because we're hip to it, because we're catching on, because we know now. And now you'll see them. You'll see your government say, oh, that Agenda 21. Oh, I didn't realize you meant that Agenda 21. Oh, there's nothing to worry about. Oh, that's a voluntary plan. That's 20 years old. Don't worry about that. That's nothing. Or sustainable development is good. That's a good thing. Who doesn't want to be sustainable, vibrant, walkable, bikeable, green, consensus? Oh, yeah. Right. hey, this is a stealth plan, and it happens in plain sight. This is what it's about. It kind of sounds crazy. It doesn't come with flashing lights. You're not going to see it in the paper unless you know what to look for. And after you get done, you're going to know what to look for, and you will see it every single day in your paper. Every meeting you go to, you'll see it. I don't care where you are. You could be in a school. You can be in your hospital. You could be at a government meeting. You will see it. You need to know what to look for. It's a stealth plan, as I said, and it sounds crazy, and it is, but I am not. So, there is an overarching political and social philosophy that goes with this. Because like any other huge national movement, it has to believe that it's right. This is so important. The philosophy is communitarianism. And it says that the individual's rights have to be balanced with the rights of the community. You're going to see this a lot. Now, you know, under our Constitution, those rights that you're guaranteed are your individual rights. Your individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what you're guaranteed in your constitutional republic. But under communitarianism, the rights of the community far outweigh the rights of the individual. Now, reason this out. When you think about it, the rights of the individual under communitarianism are like a feather, and the rights of the community are like a brick. They always outweigh the individual's rights. So when you see this and you know this and you recognize this, then you start to understand when you see plans that hurt individual property owners for the common good. There's a justification here that if we're talking about something that's going to benefit the community, it's okay to injure a particular individual who's losing the rights over their personal property. So United Nations Agenda 21 is dependent on the Hegelian dialectic. This is when a crisis is created and then a solution is proposed. The balance between these two, balance is a jargon word, the balance between these two becomes the new normal. The new normal would never have been agreed to by you if the crisis hadn't happened and the solution to it hadn't come up. That without the crisis, you would never be moved to this other position. So, what's the crisis? Climate change. Global warming, climate change. Climate change, global warming. Global warming, climate change. Well, it's serious. Oh, the planet's in danger. The sea levels are rising. Life forms are threatened. There's no time to lose. In about 100 years, you're going to need a snorkel because you're going to be underwater. Panic, chaos, collapse. I got this thing out of our local rag here. It says it's hard to deny that the Earth is functioning well over capacity. Like an overworked horse, it's simply a matter of time before the global organism collapses. Woo! If you're not feeling a little nervous, I don't know why. Okay? All intelligent people agree that it's our fault. Our selfish, wasteful, greedy ways have destroyed the planet. Almost. So, what are we going to do? Now, I am not a scientist. I don't know. I don't really talk about global warming. What I do say is that if it's not true, they would have invented it because it fits so perfectly with this plan. It is the justification for this plan because we have a severe situation here that must be responded to immediately or we are going to destroy the entire planet and every bit of life on it. So, what do? The UN to the rescue. We're going to save the planet. The World Commission on Environment and Development in 1987, the UN World Commission on the Environment and Development in 1987 defined in their book, Our Common Future, our common future. It's not your individual future. It's our common future. They define sustainable development. Now, you know, everybody's heard of sustainable development, right? Everybody, you know, and you think you know sort of generally what it means. It seems like it's a good thing. Who doesn't want to be sustainable, right? Sustainable and development seems like might be a good thing, right? Here's where it came from, the United Nations. It means, and what it is, the definition, is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Okay. We don't want to compromise the ability of future generations to meet their needs. So now, all that remains is to say that, yes, everything we're doing now does indeed compromise the ability of future generations to meet their needs. And what are we going to do about it? So the UN said to that commission, hey, come back in 5 years, in 1992, come back in 1992 with the solution, the action plan for what we're going to do to restore our planet. And this is what they came up with. Here it is, United Nations Agenda 21. It's a real document for those people who pretend that you don't know what you're talking about, you must be nuts. It's the real thing. It came from the United Nations. What does it say? Earth Summit Agenda 21, the United Nations Program of Action from Rio. 300 pages, 40 chapters, covers every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. It is an inventory and control document. That's why it was created. The chair of that commission, Maurice Strong, you might remember him from the oil for food scandal. He said, well, what's unsustainable? He defined unsustainability as the middle class lifestyle, the affluent middle class lifestyle of the American. Single-family residences. Raise your hand if you live in a house. You're an endangered species. Single-family residences, private vehicles, appliances, air conditioning, meat eating. That went over real big in Texas. Dams. Thousands of dams are being destroyed across the country. You might use that water. Disturbing the Earth's surface releases carbon dioxide. So, tillage is unsustainable. Yeah, if you're a farmer, you're going to have to be injecting seed. You know how much those machines cost that inject seed into the earth? Because you don't want to disturb the Earth's surface because you might be releasing CO2. That's right. So I'm going to show you something out of this fabulous book. Who wrote that? It's fantastic. Let me see what page it's on. Okay, so there's an image. I know you can't see this. I'm going to tell you what it is. There's an image that is associated like the logo of United Nations Agenda 21, and it's three interlocking circles. You've probably seen it. And it's like a little piece of the Olympic symbol. Right? It's three circles. You might know it as a Venn diagram if you're mathematical. And where they come together in the center is where everything's in balance. That's sustainable development. And what are the three circles? They are social equity. That's where nobody has more than anybody else. Environment and the economy. When everything's in balance, then you have sustainable development. This covers economics, housing, transportation, land use, health, water, energy, food production, and population control. China has an Agenda 21 policy. I told you 179 nations signed on. So they all have their policies. China has their policy. They're working on a vaccine, a population control vaccine, a sterilization vaccine. They're working on it in conjunction with the United States. So when you're thinking about Agenda 21, of course, you want to see what drives it. And the precautionary principle is vital. And the reason that it's vital is when you think about whatever you think about climate change, and you think to yourself, well, I've got 10 scientists over here that say that there's no such thing. Well, I've got 20 scientists. No, I've got 1,000. No, I have 30,000. No, I have 60,000. No, I have 100,000. Now, think about that when I tell you about this. The precautionary principle is the driver behind United Nations Agenda 21. This is precautionary principle number 15 in this book. And it says, if an action or a policy has a suspected risk of causing harm to the public or the environment, in the absence of scientific consensus that the action or policy is harmful, the burden of proof that it is not harmful falls on the party taking the action. That means you're guilty until proven innocent in any action that you want to take that might, in some way, be suspected as causing harm. Now, when you look at that in light of release of carbon dioxide, then that's when you find that if you want to produce food, there is a suspected risk of harm, and you have to prove that there isn't any. In the EU, in the European Union, which is our future if we don't fight now, in the European Union, the precautionary principle is compulsory. It makes law. In the United States, we call it the precautionary approach. And so it does not make law, but it makes policy. It is making policy right now. Now, this, I said, it's a global plan. This is a global plan, but it's implemented locally. And this is where we are. We are local. This is where we have our power. This is where United Nations Agenda 21 also has its power, because it's local. But we are here, and we can identify the programs and identify the parties who are taking the actions and working on us. So how do they do it? In 1992, the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit was signed on to by George Bush, right? The next year, Clinton took office in 93, and he formed the President's Council on Sustainable Development that had 12 cabinet-level secretaries on it. There was HUD, EPA, Education, Energy, Transportation, Defense, the Interior, cabinet-level secretaries, and also captains of industry like Ken Lay from Enron, Dow Chemical was on that, the Sierra Club, the Natural Resources Defense Council. You weren't there, and you didn't know anything about it. Their job was to implement United Nations Agenda 21 in the United States. That is the purpose of the President's Council on Sustainable Development, and it was very successful. One of the first things that they did was they gave a multi-million-dollar grant to the American Planning Association, because the way you see this plan is as a land use plan. The American Planning Association was given a grant to produce a document that could be used across the nation in every city, town, county, state, across the entire country that would change our land use laws to bring them into compliance with United Nations Agenda 21. And they did. It took them about 7 or 8 years, but they came up with it. It's called Growing Smart Legislative Guidebook with Model Statutes for Planning and the Management of Change. Change. There are a lot of jargon words in these plans. They mean something to us, and they mean something entirely different to the people who create these plans. Change is a jargon word. So, Growing Smart Legislative Guidebook with Model Statutes. Now, when you go to your planning department, or you go into your city council, or you go to your county supervisors, and those planners, the planners who are on staff, come up and they bring up ordinances and statutes and laws for your elected officials, to approve and pass. They're not making those up. They're not creating those from scratch. They are getting them from a book of model statutes. And those model statutes are collected from all around the United States, and they are used. They go to the very most extreme possible. Regulatory takings are part of this. So Growing Smart, a legislative guidebook, that is smart growth. You've heard smart growth? That's where that comes from. Growing smart, smart growth. What is smart growth? It's more than a building style. It's an ideology. It's a philosophy. It's a social engineering tool. I'll talk to you about it in a minute. So by 2002, Growing Smart was in every single university, every college, and every planning department in the entire United States. Now, I told you I'm a commercial real estate appraiser. My job was to value people's property fairly so that they could be fairly compensated. And what I did was I'd go into the planning departments of whatever county or city I was in, and I'd say, hey, you know, what can this guy, you know, let's say this is my property, what can I do with it? Because that's how you value, right? You want to look and see what the highest and best use of that property is. Well, around 2002, about 10 years ago, I was going in the planning departments and I was saying, well, what can you do with the property? And they were saying, well, not a lot. Not much. Not unless you get a permit expediter, not unless you wait in line, not unless you spend thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's nothing you can do by right with your property anymore. There are so many restrictions on it. That was a planning revolution that I saw happening, and that is part of the reason why. Because by 2002, that book was in every single planning department in the entire United States. So the President's Council on Sustainable Development said, hey, you know, we can pretty much get Agenda 21 into every aspect of everyone's lives administratively. We don't need to ask their permission. We're not going to be putting it on the ballot. Nobody's going to even know. This is a stealth plan. But people are going to wake up at one point, and they're not going to be real happy about it. So what do we need to do? We need to get people on board. We need to make them think that this is their idea. We need to get people to think that this is their plan. And so what did they do? They contracted for another book, and it's called Sustainable America, A New Consensus. Now, if you're like me and you're an old feminist, you know that consensus means, well, in the old days, we'd get a whole bunch of women together. You'd want to be doing some action or some demonstration or burn your bra or something like that. Everybody'd get together, you'd get into a room, and you'd fight it out and talk about it until it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, until everybody had their say, and then you'd get together and you'd work it out, and you'd have a consensus. That's real consensus, agreement of all parties, right? But the new consensus, Sustainable America, A New Consensus. What is a new consensus? It's neutralization of the opposition. Neutralizing your enemies. That's you. They knew it was going to be unpopular. And they said, well, we want to design these plans in advance. And then we want to bring everybody in. Come on down. We want to hear what you think about our new plan. Come on. Hey, it's your downtown. We want to know what you think. This is your plan. Every one of these plans looks exactly the same. I don't care what city, town, county, state, or nation you're in. Every one of these plans looks the same. Neutralizing the opposition. They want to make sure that when your government does what your government wants to do in advance, that you have been consensusized, that you've been brought on board, that this is your plan, that you agree because you went to that visioning meeting where you got invited, or you probably didn't even go because you didn't know that they held in the Memphis area last
year and a half ago, they held a visioning meeting. They put a couple of ads out there. They had about 10 or 12 meetings. How many millions of people live in this area? It's your plan. You know, for anyone who thinks I'm making this stuff up, here is Rescue Mission Planet Earth, a children's edition of Agenda 21. Yeah, that's right. It's written by Boutros-Ghali, who is Secretary General of the UN and the Children of the World. Yeah, look at that. And guess what? In the back, there's a workbook, and it says, turning Agenda 21 into action is a big challenge for us all. Thousands of people in the United Nations and in governments are working on it. This booklet will show parents and educators how children can start to be a part of this work. Doesn't that make you feel good? Your children are being indoctrinated through outcome-based education. Outcome-based education is the plan. From kindergarten through graduate school, sustainable development principles are in every course. This is the plan. This is the plan to produce artificial consensus. This is manufactured consensus. So what is it all about? The idea is that life in the suburbs and the rural areas is unsustainable, right? Because we produce too many greenhouse gases. It's that evil sprawl, which is where you live, probably. And the concept is that, of course, it costs too much money to get public transportation out there into the rural and suburban areas. So that's the justification then for moving us all into dense city centers. And that is what smart growth is about. Because what smart growth looks like is a building that's built right to the edge of the sidewalk, ground floor retail about 12 feet high, with two or three or more stories of residential apartments or condos on top of that, and then around the back in an alley, parking for one or less cars per unit. Out there on the street, you're going to have a road diet where your nice road gets narrowed. You thought you had to be on a diet. Your road's on a diet. They've got a median down the center. Oftentimes it looks good. And don't try and get a fire truck down there. You've got a bike lane. That's essential. Oftentimes you'll have either a light rail or planned light rail. You don't necessarily have to have actual public transportation. Just the idea or concept or planned public transportation is enough. Now, the idea of getting people into the dense city centers, you know, if there's demand for it, great. You want to go live in downtown San Francisco? Cool. I don't have any problem with that. But what this does, this plan does, is it uses your transportation and property tax dollars to subsidize it. So how are they doing it? They use ICLEI, the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. They are a non-governmental organization that was created to implement Agenda 21 worldwide. They created it before, right before they created Agenda 21. It's a stealth organization. It says it represents 600 million people in 70 countries worldwide. And in fact, there's seven cities and two counties in Tennessee that are members: Chattanooga, Cookeville, Franklin, Nashville, Signal Mountain, Hamilton County, Knoxville, Oak Ridge, and Shelby County. That's right. Your tax dollars go for that. And what is it? It is a policy and legislative non-governmental organization. It sells climate adaptation software, and if you don't want to buy it, they'll give it to you because they want you to have it. There's no transparency in this group. It's made up of local elected officials, but you won't know when they're meeting. They have liaisons from all over the United States who are partnering with non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, and big corporations like Siemens, Let me just drop this one in here in case you don't know. Siemens Corporation is a German corporation. It's a global corporation, of course, as they are, but it is a German corporation. It was created prior to Hitler's reign. It was about bankrupt when Hitler came to power until he generously granted Siemens Corporation slave labor from the concentration camps and money for development of technology. Siemens makes what? Your solar panels, your high-speed rail, your light rail, biomass. You'll find large, huge mega corporations are behind a lot of this. And they've got the jargon going. There's a lot of money in green, and there's a lot of money behind United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. The rhetoric is all there, because who doesn't want to be bikeable? Who doesn't want to be walkable? Who doesn't want to be green and sustainable? And who doesn't want consensus? And who doesn't want to build community? Come on. If it didn't sound so good, people wouldn't be going for it all over the world. So when Obama, the other thing they do, they monitor greenhouse gas emissions. Shelby County is in this process of monitoring your greenhouse gas emissions. Remember I said inventory and control. Inventory and control. You can't control unless you know what it is you're controlling. And that's what you're going to find, that you are being inventoried in every possible way now. This is part of it. So when Obama was running the last time, and yes, I said I'm a Democrat, I did not vote for Obama. Yeah. Right. I'm sorry. I didn't fall for it. There are a lot of great things about having, I think it's very powerful and important to have a huge number of people in our nation look at someone in the White House and say, there's a man who looks like me. I think that's an important thing. I think we were used and manipulated. I don't think that Obama is any worse or any better than anyone else who is under the control of the people who are running everything right now. What we are working on. So, when Obama was running the last time, he committed us, you and me. I don't think he committed Michelle and the kids, but he committed you and me to reducing our greenhouse gas emissions by 80% below 1990 levels by the year 2050. 80% below 1990 levels by the year 2050. That's kind of a lot, don't you think? So I said, well, I'm a math person. Let me find myself a chart and see exactly what year we were emitting 80% below 1990 levels of greenhouse gases, right? Is that logical? I mean, you should do that, right? So I found a chart. I check it out. Okay, so the chart goes from 1850 to 2004, right? So 1850 is pretty flat, around 1945, around the wartime, it starts to go up, and then goes pretty high, up, by 2004. So then I find 1990, I take 80% off of that. What year? What year do you think we were emitting 80% less greenhouse gas emissions? 1934. That was a good year, wasn't it? Yeah. Depths of the Depression. Real good year. Now, do we have more people in this country now than we had in 1934? What does that mean? That means on a per capita basis, you will be reducing your greenhouse gas emissions to somewhere back in the 1880s. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but I don't know if you remember, but it used to be one whole day a week just in washing clothes. Every Monday was wash day, right? You can't use a vehicle because your vehicle emits greenhouse gas emissions. So you're not going to be doing that. You're going to be on your bike. That's right. Okay, the end justifies the means. That's what communitarianism is. The end justifies the means. It's all for the common good. All for the common good. So, you know, back in 19, what year was that? The Kyoto Treaty. Remember when the Kyoto Treaty was supposed to be ratified by the U.S. and the U.S. said, no, we're not going to ratify that. The Fed said, no, we're not signing on to that. Bush said, no, we're not doing that. But 1,055 United States mayors said, you know what, that sounds pretty good to us. We will ratify Kyoto. 1,055 U.S. mayors agreed to enforce Kyoto, the Kyoto Treaty. It says it adopts and enforces land use policies that reduce sprawl. That's where you live. And preserves open space. And creates walkable urban communities. That's smart growth. That's what Kyoto does. Who signed on to that? Chattanooga, Cookeville, Crossville, Franklin, Manchester, Nashville, Signal Mountain. That's right. 1,055 United States mayors signed on to that. Now, I thought, well, hey, well, let me check it out. Let me check out in the entire world, everybody who signed on to the Kyoto Treaty, who has reduced their greenhouse gases the most? Out of all those nations, who do you think? Latvia, clinging desperately to the edge of the former Soviet Union, as Latvia, one of the poorest nations in the world. They're also known for their human rights abuses. So what does that tell you? If you reduce your greenhouse gas emissions to a point where your people can't heat their homes at all and are eating cold gruel, you're going to have to use your human rights abuses in order to do it. So that's something for us to remember here. So the goal is using the greenhouse gas mask, the green mask of environmental concern. The two parts of Agenda 21 are imposed on us. That is smart growth, which is moving populations into concentrated city centers and restricting mobility, monitoring, controlling, and surveilling us. That is the end game, moving us into the centers of cities where we can be monitored, controlled, and surveilled, and getting us out of the suburban and rural areas, the wildlands, blocking access to wilderness roads, closing off resources to us, and shifting land ownership. And this is key, shifting land ownership. And how did they do it? By 2002, as I told you, Growing Smart was in every planning department and every university in the nation. And that's the planning revolution that I was seeing. Every single city and county has, and state has, a comprehensive plan. You've got it here in Shelby County, Memphis. Everybody has it. It's a land use plan, but it's also, it's sort of the wish list for what your county or city wants to see there. It's not zoning. It takes precedence over zoning. It's also a social and economic driver. It determines where populations are going to be, where the infrastructure is going to go. You've got it here. Now, here's Growing Smart. I didn't bring the actual thing with me. This is just the cover. I wanted you to see it's real. It weighs 12 pounds, so I didn't bring it with me. But this is it. It informs all of your planning departments. When you've got a document, a land use document, that determines what the future of your land use is going to be, and you don't have what that land use future is, when you've got a piece of land that's zoned right now for commercial, but in the future they want it to be mixed use, which will be that smart growth I told you about, ground floor commercial, but you can't just build a commercial building now. You got to put residential on top of it. That means that when you go into a planning department and you try and get a permit to build on your property, you want to put a little shoe store, you want to put a little shop on your property, and you go in there, you've, you know, maybe gotten a loan on your house, you're kind of ready to go, you want to do it, and you're told by your planning department that, no, you can't do that. You have to put residential. You have to combine residential and commercial. Residential has to be on every single mixed-use site, or you can't get a permit to do it. It's not that many people who can afford to build commercial and residential together. It's a specialized development, so you find that it requires subsidies. And here's what you have. In 1998, the Tennessee Public Act 1101 required comprehensive plans in order to receive state and federal funding. You can't get state and federal funding unless you have a comprehensive plan. And your Metropolitan Planning Organization, which you've got one here, they're all over the country, it requires, hello, that's okay, it requires sustainable community strategies. And this is where you have to think about this. Here's where the plan really takes off. Because what is being planned for you is being planned for every single city and county and state in the entire United States, sustainable community strategies. It's not sustainable unless it's a transit village with mixed use. I don't care where you are. If you don't have that, you're not sustainable. And if you're not a sustainable community with sustainable community strategies, you're not going to get federal and state funding. There's 20 MPOs and councils of government in Tennessee. Sustainable Shelby is funded by the Department of Energy, a block grant from the Department of Energy. Department of Energy was in the President's Council of Sustainable Development. And you're going to find that all of the programs that you see that are having an impact on your land use, on your ability to use your land, on your ability to determine your own life, all of those plans are funded by government agencies that were part of sustainable development, the President's Council on Sustainable Development. Last year, HUD gave a $2.6 million grant to the Shelby County Regional Planning for the Mid-South Regional Green Print. Imagine 2040. All these plans across the United States have the same name. Imagine the problem for Memphis when they came up with Imagine 2035. Well, unfortunately, Imagine 2035 was also chosen by Tampa, Florida. So if you go to the website for Imagine 2035 thinking that you're going to go to Memphis, Tennessee, in fact, you find yourself in Tampa, Florida. You're going to have regional plans that are named the same thing all across the country because there's only just so many ways that you can say visioning, imagining, envisioning. They're all the same plan. This is what's so incredible is that you're paying for consultants to come up with these plans, and they're all the same plan in every city, county, and state in the entire United States. And not just that, but if you look at the Hanoi Center regional plan, Hanoi, Vietnam, that is the same plan as One Bay Area for the San Francisco Bay. These are the same plan. Livable Memphis, part of Livable Memphis, they say they want to transfer property taken for unpaid taxes to a 501c3 charitable organization. Now, they're willing to transfer property that they took for unpaid taxes and transfer it to some so-called charitable organization for anything but single-family residential. They'll give you that land, but you can't build houses on it. You got to build smart growth. Smart growth. You find this in every single regional plan. Here's the one for Marin County, California. Marin County, right inside of the Marin County General Plan, you find those three interlocking circles right there in the plan. This is part of every plan across the United States. So smart growth is an ideology. It's not just a design style. It's an unelected regional government, the unelected shadow government, and this is what is being sold to you as an economic driver. You're being told that unless you agree to be governed by an unelected board, It's made up of elected officials. But you can vote one of those guys off, and it's not going to change that board. This people who are local elected officials and county elected officials don't realize that they have no power on those regional boards. You can have 189 cities on a regional board. You can have 121 counties on a regional board with more than 500 cities, and you have very little impact. This is the way that we are losing our rights, because you can still vote for those local individuals, but if they want any money, any federal or state money, they are going to have to go along with the sustainable community strategies. This is what's happening to us. We are seeing one Bay Area, one Valley, one vision, three states, one vision, 16 counties, three states, one vision. That's here, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, 16 counties, three states, one vision. You've got 32 counties, four states, and one vision, West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, 17,000 square miles. It's the largest visioning project in the nation. What do they want? Smart growth. Smart growth hurts small business, small ownership. It excludes certain businesses. It makes certain businesses legally nonconforming. And when you're thinking about redevelopment, this is part of how it's funded, because they will use redevelopment project areas. You've got 1,000 acres in Memphis that are identified as being redevelopment blighted areas. And what that means is that those areas in the center of your city, which should be producing property tax dollars that should be going for your general fund, for your police and fire, for your streetlights, for your roads, that money is instead diverted to specialized developers and bond brokers. Bond brokers get a lot of that money because the payoff time for those bonds is between 20 and 45 years. In California, we're seeing counties and cities that are going bankrupt, that are not paying off on their municipal bonds. These bonds don't require your vote. You never even know that they're floating these bonds, but they indebt you. They indebt your city for 20 to 45 years. And you know, in California, we've got these cities that are saying, well, you can't get blood out of a turnip. You can't come to us looking for the money. We don't have it. We're not going to be paying off on our municipal bonds. For those of us who are investors and think about investing, when you think about a safe investment, what do you think about? Bonds. To actually renege on a bond debt, a government reneging on a bond debt, and it's happening now. I've got them here. There's a lot of them. If you want to know about redevelopment, it gets sold to you as being a good thing. It's not a good thing, because what it does is it freezes the taxes that are taken in by your general fund. You still pay. You're going to pay all your taxes for the next 35 years. But over that base year, any increase for the next 20 to 45 years is going to go into the pocket of those developers who are building smart growth, and into the pockets of the bond brokers. You need to know about this, because when you come home at night and the streetlights are out because there's no money for streetlights, and the roads are being pulverized to gravel because there's no money to maintain them, and your parks are dead, this is oftentimes why the money is being diverted. This is a great booklet about it. It's on my website. You can get it for free. It's a free download, and it's called Redevelopment, the Unknown Government. And everyone, especially if you're an elected official, you're told that this is just too complicated for you to understand. This is so simple, you can't believe it. It's stealing. It's the vampire that never dies. It did die in California, but bond debt lives on. All those agencies indebted themselves for 45 years. So, did I get off topic? No. Because this is part of what funds United Nations Agenda 21, your property taxes and your transportation dollars. This is where the money goes. It goes to sustainable communities strategies, all over the United States. Smart growth. And moving you out of the rural and suburban areas by closing down your rural post offices, your rural schools, not maintaining your roadways. This is how it happens. And when you find yourself going to a visioning meeting with your crayon and you're shown the plan for your town and you're told to go on and come on down, give us your input on the plan, you're visioning on somebody else's property. You're drawing what you'd like to see on someone else's property. This is the question. Are they going to use eminent domain to take that property away from those people? Are they going to take their property and fairly compensate them? Or are they going to destroy them through regulatory means to the point where the property's not worth much at all and it's easier and cheaper to acquire? That's what you see. Public-private partnerships favor specified, specific developers to do these projects. Your tax dollars subsidize smart growth because it doesn't pencil out. It doesn't make sense. This kind of development is not in demand unless you're in somewhere like San Francisco. And even there, they're talking about smart growth as 25 stories. You know how few people can afford to construct a building like that? Here it is in the San Francisco Bay Area. I know you can't see this. These are the building styles that they allow. All over the San Francisco Bay Area, they're all smart growth. All smart growth. Ground floor retail with one or more stories of residential above. It's all the same thing. $200 billion over the next 25 years in San Francisco. And if your city doesn't agree to build smart growth where it's told to, in priority development areas, they don't get that money. You think that's going to impact your property values? If you're not within that specified priority development area, if you've got a property downtown and it's not identified as being a property that's a priority development property, you've got these huge estimates for population growth. This is what's driving it. This is where it goes. It's even worse than local regional plans because there are 11 megaregions in the United States. Now, we thought we had 50 states, right? We thought we had city, county, state, and federal. But no, now we have 11 megaregions. 11 megaregions. Tennessee is part of the Piedmont Atlantic megaregion. 121 counties, portions of Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, and South Carolina. 22 million people, and they're expecting a 78% increase in population by 2050. What does that mean? That means that they are expecting so many people to pour into this area that you've got to be able to accommodate them. Oh my goodness, where are we going to put them? Where are they going to live? We have to build smart growth. We have to figure out how much population is going to come into each area and then build enough smart growth to accommodate these huge hordes of people that are pouring into our area. Well, if you don't build that smart growth and then you go down there, you're outside of that area, and you go down to get a building permit to build your house, you want to put a house on your land, you want to get a permit to do that, they're going to say, no, no, we haven't fulfilled our allotment downtown in the smart growth area, and we can't give out any permits that are outside of that location. And I'm talking about a strip right along a street. I'm not talking about miles of land that's going to be identified as developable with smart growth. I'm talking about right on a rail line, right on a train line, right on a bus line. And unless that future population is not accommodated there, you can't get permits to build anywhere else. So when you're looking at the Piedmont Atlantic megaregion, you're losing your rights. You're losing your sovereignty, your personal sovereignty, because if you are being governed by a regional board with 121 counties, how do you feel now? You feel like you go down to your city council and you really have a voice? How do you think that's going to feel when you don't even know what state to go to for the regional meeting? Oh, they moved it this month. Now it's in Georgia. Last month it was in South Carolina. I'm sure you're going to go. I'm sure you're going to have a voice there. I'm sure that your elected official is going to have some real impact there. Georgia Tech had a Think Global, Act Regional symposium in 2006 where they developed policies and resources for public-private partnerships. This is where your tax dollars go to pay some private guy to develop smart growth or infrastructure for smart growth. And that guy has a no-recourse loan, which means that if he defaults, you pay. Or he's got a no-bid contract. Or it's a gift through redevelopment. We're talking about we are funding not just infrastructure and roads. We are funding housing for the first time that is privately owned and run for profit. This is new and important to know because you will not have a voice. You've got to stop this now. So there's 11 mega regions in the United States. Cascadia, how do you like that? Cascadia is in the Northwest. It includes Oregon, part of Washington, part of Oregon, and part of Canada. The Southern California region includes part of Mexico. We're talking about breaking jurisdictional boundaries. Remember I told you about the regional plan for here, for Shelby? It includes the western 4 miles of Fayette and the northern portion of DeSoto in Mississippi. That's just your local metropolitan planning organization. Then you take that up to the mega region, and you've got portions of states, you've got a part of another country, part of another country. Where is your sovereignty? Got sovereignty? Where is your power? You have lost it. You are losing it. Most of these cities are ICLEI cities. Most of these cities are members of the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. Oh, I forgot. They changed their name because they're afraid you're going to catch on and know that they're international and that they were created by the United Nations. So now they call themselves Local Governments for Sustainability so that you might not notice, but it's too late. You noticed. So high-speed rail is the number one building block for all of this. Because when you think about it, high-speed rail is designed to fail. High-speed rail is designed to suck your property, your tax dollars right down a hole. A lot of money and not much to show for it with high-speed rail. We don't have any real high-speed rail in the United States. It's very, very expensive. Who builds those train cars? A lot of times Siemens Corporation. Other huge multinational corporations. The idea for Agenda 21 is social equity. That's a code word. Because remember I told you that your affluence, the affluent United States lifestyle, the middle class lifestyle of the United States and other developed nations is unsustainable. Social equity means nobody should have as much as we do. You got two bathrooms in your house? Well, you can't use both of them at once, can you? That's too much. So, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about you got more than 150 square feet per person. You make more than $7,000 a year. You have all the food you want from all over the world. Uh-uh. That is not going to fly. We're talking about food sheds. We're talking about transit villages ringed by a food shed, which is where you're going to grow your food, and your food is going to be local or you're not going to be eating it. And if you want to go anywhere, you're going to be on that train that may not exist, or you're going to be on that bus. And you know there's a no-fly list now for planes, right? You know how pleasant it is to fly now. I fly all the time. I refuse to do that X-ray thing. I've never been through that thing. Yeah, you said it. I am not doing that. And the day that they make it so that you have to do that, well, I'll tell you, that's going to be a bad and sad day for this nation. But then I'll be on the train, except they're going to have a no-ride list for the train. So just think about this. When you lose your private vehicle, and I'm not, and everybody's like, oh, Rosa, what are you, crazy? I'm not losing my private vehicle. Well, vehicle miles, travel taxes, toll roads, time of use for roads and parking, higher and higher gasoline costs, and pretty soon you're not going to be in your private vehicle. Now, you can do whatever you want in your private vehicle. You go where you want. You hang out with whoever you want. You got, what do you have in that trunk? What's in there? It's your business. But when you've got a no-fly, no-ride list, what does that mean? That means that you have to show your papers, please. You've got to have your papers on you, because how do they know if you're on that list or not? And then you're not going. Oh, you're in the Tea Party? Oh, you're campaigning for... Oh, you voted for Ron Paul? Oh, somebody say Ron Paul? I'm not endorsing any candidates. Okay, so, you know, and I'm not really. I think they'd never, you know, I mean, who knows? But I doubt Ron Paul will get anywhere near the presidency. I do say that it'd be quite interesting if everyone wrote in Ron Paul in the entire United States. Let's see how they could steal that election then. You know, it's not as easy to steal an election. It's like, how are you going to prove, how are you going to, it's, bring back the hanging chads, that's what I say. Anyway, so this is how your government works now. You've got unelected boards and commissions that are making policy and law for you now. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. Unelected boards and commissions, they are creating these unelected, excuse me if you serve on an unelected, in an unelected position on a board. But I will tell you that if you're a troublemaker, they may put you on that board just to shut you up. They will put you on that board to as a toady, as a shill, as somebody that they know will go along to get along, because they need buy-in now. And if they, you go down there and you say, I'm representing Shelby County Neighbors Association, well, half, I tell you, 99.9% of the people in Shelby County don't know who you are and have no idea that you represent them, but you do. And then I go down there. I also live in Shelby County. I live on Main Street. And they say, oh, you're just that some person on Main Street, but we got this person in our corner, this person who represents all of Shelby County. And this is how they do it. They farm people. They farm people who are willing to go along to get along, people who are shills, people who are toadies, people who are going to get something, people who just want a pat on the back and told that they are indispensable. Thank you so much. You are so fabulous. You know, if you have any doubts about communitarian law in the United States, look no further than the 2005 Kelo decision, right? The Kelo decision. What did that do? The Supreme Court of the land decided that under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, as you know, you are guaranteed just compensation for the taking of your property for a public use. What happened in 2005 under that Kelo decision? The Supreme Court decision took Suzette Kelo's house away along with a bunch of other people's property in New London, Connecticut, and gave it to Pfizer Corporation. Yeah, because that was now a public use, because it increased the amount of tax dollars for the community. It's for the greater good. Now a public use has been redefined to grant property to a private individual for private gain, a transfer, a change in our Constitution, basically, through a Supreme Court decision. Whatever the greater good is whatever your government says it is. The end justifies the means. This is the end of private property rights. When you're looking at the wildlands, that's the other part of this, okay? Smart growth is urban. The wildlands is where all that land is out there that you fly over or you drive over or you think, you hear all the time that we're destroying our environment. We are destroying the planet. There's places in this country, a lot of them, where if you break down, you could die out there. Nobody's going to even know you're out there. The Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project. It says we need linkages. We need corridors for animals. So Bambi can get together with Bambo. That's what we need it for. Agenda 21 destroys dams, reservoirs. They encourage the release of wild animals into the wild. The Florida panther's coming back. I hope you feel good about that. Florida panther, how do you like it when you're living up in the Northeast and there are wolves? Canadian wolves that were never native to the area in the first place that whelp 8 pups, where those native wolves whelp 2, and then the little native wolves are like, oh my God, these Canadian wolves are, 8 pups to 2. And they can take down an elk, two wolves take down an elk or cow. This is a threat to free-range ranchers, to farmers, to those of us who are out on the land. When you have if you're in a rural county like I am, our county supervisors just announced last year that they're only going to be paving 150 miles of our 1,384 miles of rural county roads. You think that's going to have an impact on your property value out there when they pulverize the roads to gravel? They're doing that now. When you can't get to your property, are you going to be able to sell it? If you're told that you've got view sheds, ridge lines, biotic resources, scenic easements, wetlands, streamside thresholds on your property, and you can't build on your property. I appraised a 1,000-acre ranch. He could only put one house on that. 1,000 acres. What was it zoned for? One house per 60 acres. That was the zoning. So you know what I did? I went to the county. I've been thrown out of county planning departments and city. I went down there and I said, has anyone ever been able to develop their property with 60 units per acre in this county? No. I said, what's the maximum amount that anyone has ever been able to develop their rural property with, number of units? The guy told me, I said, all right, that's what the property's worth. Because they are doing regulatory takings where you are not being compensated for taking the rights of your development on your property. This is the way that it's done now. The American Planning Association, in this book, is telling planners that if there's any way that they can do a regulatory taking, which is to actually rezone or restrict the ability of your usage of your property just by writing it down rather than doing an actual taking, like an eminent domain taking, if you say, okay, this guy's on a ridgeline, he can't build anything on that ridgeline because if I'm riding by on my bicycle, I can see it. You can't build on that. Well, I don't care if you thought you could build on it when you bought it. Too bad for you, because the end justifies the means. There are 60 million roadless acres in the United States right now, and the National Wildlife Refuge Service, the Wildlands Project is telling us that what they want to see is designated wildlands. And what that means, this is so great. Where the heck is it? It's in here. I'm stalling. Hang on. Here I go. 1 second. Okay, let's see. Oh, boy, I'm going to slap myself later, I'll tell you. Okay, here it is. There it is, page 57. Okay, you have to hear this. This is too good. Okay, now, this is the deal. Under the Wildlands Project, this is lands that are out there all across our country. And the design, the plan is to get us out of the rural and suburban areas and bring us into the city centers. Well, what are they going to do with all that land? Where is that land? Who is going to have access to that land when the roads are pulverized? You aren't going to know who's having access to that land. There is such a thing as debt for nature. Countries that are in debt to other nations, well, what do they give for collateral? Debt for nature. Debt swaps. Debt for nature is a collateral, a collateralization of your natural resources. So, under the Wilderness Act, according to the National Forestry Service, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is also a member of the President's Council on Sustainable Development, now that only lasted till 1999. That's how long it took them, from 1993 to 1999. So that was the President's Council. They say wilderness, designated wilderness, is an area where the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man, where man himself is a visitor who does not remain. That's right. That's what you're going to see. You think you've got your nice land out there. Nobody's going to bother me. I got myself my well. I'm cool. Well, guess what? You know about smart meters? You know about smart gas meters? You know about smart electric meters? You know about smart water meters? And there's going to be meters on private wells. You don't own that water. That water is for the common good. This is what this is about. You know, you've heard about the Sacketts. They sued the EPA, right? The Supreme Court found in their favor, but what did they fine for? They said they're entitled to a hearing. The Sacketts are people who live on this lake, right? They got a permit to build. They broke ground. They started clearing the land for their building, their house. They want to build a little house. They paid like $60,000 or something for this lot. They got their permit from the town. They start building. And who comes and knocks on their no door, just walks up to their dirt patch and says, you got to put this back just the way it was. The EPA. They said, if you don't put this back just the way it was, we're going to fine you $37,000 a day. A day. Now, most people would fold instantly, fall apart, run away, go and hide, but these people did not. They sued. They sued the EPA. They got all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And what does that tell you? That is disgusting. To make it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court? Okay, they got up there, and what did the Supreme Court do? They didn't decide what a wetland was. And by the way, these people's property was not flat. It was on an angle. What does water do? Yeah, right. Okay, so they got the Supreme Court to find that they were entitled to a hearing to challenge the government's threats to fine them for building on their own land. They were entitled to a hearing. The EPA wouldn't even give them a hearing. This is your country. This is your nation. Agenda 21 is a plan to produce social equity by impoverishing populations and creating total dependence on government. And it is very successful. If you want to look at austerity measures, just take a look at the EU. Right? Does that look good? The EU. This is where we're headed. We have a long way to fall. It's coming. The corporatocracy is tightening the screws. I got this little piece out of the paper last year. It says Americans' wealth last summer suffered its biggest quarterly loss in more than 2 years as stocks, pension funds, and home values lost value. Right? But at the same time, corporations are amassing record cash stockpiles, $2.1 trillion at the end of September. What does this mean to us? What does this mean to us? We are, you know, when you lose something, when you lose your money, where is it? Did I drop it? I lost it. No, I didn't lose it. It didn't evaporate into thin air. It went from my pocket to someone else's. When you lose your property rights, those rights go to someone else. Whether it's your government or someone designated by your government, you are losing your rights. You're losing your sovereignty under the cover of environmentalism. That's the green mask. This is why people are so heavily manipulated, because it sounds good. You are saving the planet. The planet is in danger. What could be wrong with sustainability? It refuses to allow dissent. This nation is founded on having free speech. If these plans were so good, they would be able to stand up to the scrutiny of the people. And instead, they are stealth plans. They are hidden from us. We are lied to, manipulated. The American Planning Association has just put out a 12-week communications boot camp where they trained planners in changing their rhetoric, because we are onto them all across the nation. This is happening. This is what's behind the green mask. The rigid control of a totalitarian state is in progress. That is what is behind the green mask, the abuse of our trust as a nation. They have hijacked the environmental movement. People are being manipulated. You know, everybody's been abused. I don't care who you are. At some point in your life, you were abused. And you know that it is not what you say. It's not the rhetoric of the abuser. It's what the abuser does. We're in a church, and I'll say you will know them by their fruits. And this is the truth. It's not what you say. It's what you do. So, what do we have? We have the USA Patriot Act, and we have the National Defense Authorization Act. Just passed, right? It designates the world as the battlefield, and it gives government the right to detain and murder United States citizens in the homeland. The homeland, right? The homeland. Does that sound good to you? Where did they get that rhetoric from? Who's being paid to develop? This is the biggest public relations scam in the history of the world, and we are being manipulated. The homeland? Don't ever try and say that in front of me. This is a manipulation. They have designated the world as a battlefield and targeted United States citizens. We can be detained and held without charge or trial. Community-oriented policing, you'll see that. They say it's for gangs. It is designed to do domestic surveillance. It is funded by the Department of Justice. Fusion centers all across the nation. This is something most people have not heard about. These are centers. They're private. They're quiet. They don't tell you they're there. They are there to integrate all law enforcement, local, county, state, federal, and international. They share information about you. Surveillance is the law of the land. Code enforcement. You want to be a code enforcement officer, code enforcement ambassador? Go to DeKalb County, Georgia, where you can be a code enforcement ambassador. They want you to rat on your neighbors. Your neighborhood associations are farmed for people who are willing to go along to get along. You've got to stand up and be strong now, because they will take you down. They will lie about you. They will insult you. They will attack you, because this is what communitarianism is. It's peer pressure. Peer pressure. They use the fear that we have that we will not be liked, that our neighbors won't like us, the terror that we have of standing up in a crowd of people and being the one who says, this is wrong. They use that. They use our timidity, our willingness to just go along to get along. And this is how it happens. This is how the fabric of a total society is destroyed. They keep you obedient and quiet, and they train your children and your grandchildren to be good citizens, to go along, to get along. They do not allow dissent. They also, this is they as your government, you are being criminalized. This is the way of the future. When you're arrested, the more things that are crimes, the more opportunity for arresting you. And when you're arrested and booked, what are they going to do? They're going to get your biometrics. Every single person's eye is different from every single other person's eye. IBM, speaking of eyes, IBM, during World War II, made the punch cards for the Nazis so that they would be able to correlate. You know those numbers that got tattooed on the arms? That wasn't just some random number. That number correlated with which camp you were going into, what was going to happen to you. Who made those punch cards? IBM. They made them in the United States. They were the Trading with the Enemy Act was passed, and so what did they do? They created a fully owned subsidiary in Germany, and then they staffed it with Americans. And then they brought punch cards over that were made in the U.S. regularly. So, if you're a criminal, or if you're not, or if you're just busted, they're going to take your biometrics. IBM has come up with this, where your eyes are red. And now, when you want to get money out of an ATM, hey, this is so cool, you don't have to remember your password. You go up and look in the thing. Isn't that great? How about bullying? Bullying is a crime. About to be a big crime. Bullying. Your little kid in a schoolyard, you're in trouble. Check this out. Dallas Morning News. When I was in Dallas, I got this. I always look at the local paper. Here it is. Dallas Morning News. National Bullying Prevention Center. Isn't that nice? Aren't you glad there is one? Julie Herzog, director of the National Bullying Prevention Center in Minnesota, said national change, real change, and this is in schoolyards, real change will come. Real national change in bullying will come with a federal law. A federal law. What, are they going to take a six-year-old to federal prison? Oh, you're in trouble, kid. You're in deep trouble. You got a record now, and you're only seven. Yeah, this is how it's This is how it's done. You know, you get your eyes red when you're seven. How about that 23andMe? You know, you guys know about that? You're not hip to that yet? Well, you will find it out. If you want your genes read, if you want to have, you know, the human genome has been mapped. It's actually owned. You don't own your genes. Let's just say you want to find out who your ancestors are. You know, you want to know if you came from the New Hebrides or something. So you spit into a cup, you send it off to 23andMe, which is this company that will analyze your genes. And I'm like, you're thinking, is she getting off topic? No, I am not. This is Agenda 21, inventory and control. Agenda 21, inventory and control. You spit in that cup, your saliva has your DNA, they check your DNA. Who? 23andMe is the company. Why? 23 chromosomes, yeah? Okay, what do they do with that? Well, they send you back a little printout, they tell you about your ancestry, who cares, right? What else do? They keep that information. Who owns 23andMe? A woman named Anne Wozniacki. Who's she married to? Sergey Brin. Who's Sergey Brin? Google. Google is designed, well, I've heard it said that Google was set up by the CIA, and I wouldn't be surprised. Inventory and control. They know everything you're doing on the internet now. In fact, and here's a case. You know, I agree with what you guys said about joining together. I'm a Democrat, liberal Democrat, as I said. We need to work together. We're not going to stop this unless we do. The ACLU put out this thing about the FBI and domestic surveillance saying they don't need a warrant for your hotel records, for your bank records, for your internet records, for your phone records. Domestic surveillance. Public-private partnerships are also in prisons. Public-private partnerships are prisons as well. They're privately owned prisons. And prisons need prisoners. And prisoners are created by making more things illegal. So this is what you have. You've got all totalitarian states sharing the same characteristics, total control of property, total information, surveillance, loss of free speech, restricted movement. They share the same philosophy, which is it's all for the common good. Austerity, the glorious future, the vision of the glorious future. We're going to be on bikes. It's going to be great. Everything is going to be beautiful. And terror. Communism, fascism, and Nazism. It's all for the fatherland, all for the homeland. It's all for the common good. You'll find this all over. This is put out by Bank of America and Berkeley Law and UCLA Law. How to make sustainable development happen now. On Common Ground. This is your National Association of Realtors. It's all about smart growth. Universities. You've got Vanderbilt U, 56 courses in sustainability. University of Tennessee, you too can teach it. Sustainability across the curriculum. You'll find it everywhere. So, you know what? I want to tell you what you can do about it. And it's time for me to wrap up. And that's too bad. But there's 20 pages in my book about what you can do about it, since you're telling me I have to stop. There's 20 pages in this book, and it's not like you have to, you know, send off box tops and get a magic ring or something. There's a lot of great stuff you can do. I'm going to tell you that I don't blame you if you feel overwhelmed, because who doesn't? This is an assault. It's an attack on us. It's a bloodless coup. It's a global plan, and it's implemented locally. But you can educate yourself and others, and this is your job. My job is to tell you that you need to educate yourself and others, because this is how we're going to stop it. By learning about it, recognizing it, take your local paper. If you see neighborhoods, stabilization projects, if you see sustainable community strategies, if you see regional plans, these are all part of United Nations Agenda 21. You want to go to your elected officials and educate them, assist them in knowing what it is that they're voting on. You want to defund consultants that are working for your government. Why do we have consultants working for our government? Don't we have enough staff we have to pay every month? Let's fire those consultants, terminate their contracts, and get them out. We don't need them. The nonprofits that are funding candidates and are backed by huge corporations, root them out. Find out who they are, identify them locally, and expose them. You want to participate. Property rights groups are springing up all over the nation, and you will participate. You want to speak out. You want to go to your council and supervisory meetings and speak out. Talk about this. This is not something to be hidden. This is something to have out there. Agenda 21 is real. It is named Sustainable Development. When you see sustainable development, do not accept that people don't know what they're talking about. They do. This is part of a huge plan. Students are now recognizing that they're being manipulated. The Delphi technique is used. It's a RAND Corporation technique that is being used in all of these meetings to manipulate you, to give you the impression that you have an input, that you are actually crafting these plans. You are not. The plans were designed before you walked in the room, and it's all designed to make you feel like you have some input so that you'll have buy-in, so you'll be into it and part of it. It is not your plan. Teachers are speaking out, and they're refusing to teach the newspeak, sustainable development, instead of mathematics, and that is happening all over the country. Doctors are refusing to prescribe mind-altering drugs with suicide and murder as side effects for children. We're exposing the links between huge corporations like Siemens, IBM, with solar and rail. Bicycle coalitions are the shock troops for Agenda 21 by working with redevelopment project areas and huge low-income housing developers like Enterprise and LISC. These are billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar companies that work through bicycle coalitions that beat the drum for smart growth. All of us are refusing now to be Delphi'd, and we will not allow facilitators to shame us and call us tinfoil hats and crazy. We are not. You'll make your flyers. We've got flyers These have huge impact, making flyers and going out and putting them on doorsteps. You want to educate as many people as you can, as often as you can. Get the information out. I've got some flyers out there for you about being in an Ickley County. Make these flyers. They're two-sided flyers. You can make them for like $6. You can make 100. Get them out there. Give them to your friends and have them make them. This is what you want to do. You don't want to allow yourself to be manipulated any longer, but don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed. Work with those elected politicians who work with you, who acknowledge this is happening, who acknowledge that they need your support. When you tell your elected official that you want your elected official to speak out against sustainable development, you have to go down there in person and support that elected person when they're speaking out against it on council or in the legislature. Support these people. And if they won't work with you, then unelect them and run for office yourselves. We are taking back this country. The days of sitting on the sidelines are over. Yes. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy fact. And we are working on this all across the nation. You are part of a huge, true, grassroots organization. Unorganization. An unorganization for your freedom. It's called the United States of America. And we have a document that we support. And I don't care what your political affiliation is, what your sexual orientation is, what your religion is. We are Americans. We stand together. And we will fight this together. And we will win this. We're gonna win this. I guarantee you there's not a single person in here who would say in 1938 that they would have gotten up in the morning and put on a Nazi uniform. There's not a person in here who would imagine themselves suiting up in a Nazi uniform. Well, you prove me right. And you get up every morning and you put on your armor, your resistance armor, and you go out there and you fight this, because this is something we need to do. We have to take back our nation. Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Do it with me. All right. That's it.